Now comes the part of worship, you have me. How many of you follow instructions or take correction well? That's a rhetoric question. I don't expect you to answer, but just think about it. I hear people say, and especially teens, I'll pick on you. I was once a teen myself. Some say, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Have you heard that? Have you said that yourself sometime in your life? I want to be free to do what I want to do. When I want to do it, where I want to do it, I want to do it, and if I want to do it at all, I want to make the decision. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I've heard that from my own children. And I heard it from my grandchildren as well. Maybe not in those exact words, but in the way they were acting and what they were doing, I could tell they were saying that. Someone is always telling us what to do. Every day that we get up, someone is telling us what to do. And it's not appreciated by many, many people, is it? It just is not appreciated. And often the correction and instruction is just completely ignored. We don't have a lot of children out here today. I had a special surprise for them. But we've got one or two, and it still may be a surprise. I've got someone that you're very familiar with. He's a vacation Bible school character. Say hello to everyone there. What's your name? I forget his name. I'm having a senior moment. This is Papa Nose. Hello there. Hello, everybody. I'm Papa Nose. Well, we got through with that. Hey, I like your shoes, Papa Nose. Yeah, they're Crocs. What? They're Crocs. Oh, Crocs. Those are the rubber shoes that everybody, or many people, are wearing nowadays, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's right. Well, I called you out here, Papa Nose, to make a fool of myself again. We have a lot in common, don't we, Papa? Well, we're both old men.
Yes, we are both old men. That's for sure. And we both wear glasses. Yeah. We have quite a lot in common.
What?
Well, I notice every time I talk, your lips move, and your Adam's apple goes up and down, up and down, up and down.
Wait, you're not supposed to bring attention to that, Papa. All the attention is supposed to be on you, on me?
Yeah. Well, he just isn't very good, is he?
Well, I brought you out here to ask you a question, Papa Nose. It's a pertinent question.
What? What kind of a permanent question
No, not permanent. A pertinent question is what I want to ask.
Well, go ahead, ask your question. Alright, this is the question.
When you dummies, whoa, what?
Wait a minute. You're on thin ice there, you see.
Well, I'm sorry, maybe it's poor choice of words, I guess. But I just naturally thought that you puppets was reading all those books on how to for dummies.
Well, we don't read how to for dummies, but would you get on with the question? All right?
The question is this. When you puppets get together, like I'm a Christian, not Emma, I'm a Christian and been there and done that. I notice that all you puppets seem to treat each other really fairly, and they listen to you, Papa knows. They listen, even when you quote scripture, they listen to you.
Where's the question? What's the question?
All right, the question is this. How do you do that? I mean, I can do the same thing, and no one seems to listen to me like that. And I want to know your secret.
Well, come on down. Yep.
Well, you didn't have to whisper that to me. I mean, it wasn't anything that secret, was it?
Well, you see, when you say the key word, and you have me say that key word, your lips are going to move and your Adam's apple is going to go up and down, up and down, up and down.
Well, that might be so.
Well, go ahead. Say, tell them what I said to you.
Well, Papa said, he said that the puppets come out on real well and they do good because they read and they follow the script. I don't know, Papa. I don't know. I'll have to ponder that.
Well, just do that.
I have to ponder it and see how that applies to us. Meanwhile, let me think about this, and I'll put you...
Wait a minute. What are you going to do?
Well, I'll put you away. No, that's what they want to do with all old men.
Put them away.
Well, I'm sorry, as a poor choice of words again, I guess. I have had my foot in my mouth quite a bit, haven't I?
Yeah, you have. Now you want to chew on a crock?
Well, no, I don't want to chew on a crock either, but I need to get on with the sermon, and everybody's begging for me to. I will let you go back to resting where you were when I got you. And will that be okay?
Yeah, that'll be okay. Old men rest a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, I'd rather go about hanging with my friends.
Oh, you hang with your friends?
Yes, literally, I hang with my friends.
Okay, Papa knows. I will see you again soon. Say goodbye to everyone. Goodbye to the kids. Bye-bye. Now you're saying, there's one strange guy. Well, that's the first time I've ever done that, and I like to do things for the first time. And you could tell. So the puppet's secret is in the script. It's in the script. They read and follow a script. Things turn out well for them in a matter of speaking, don't they? Don't you wish everything happened that easily for us? All the puppets take instruction well, and they read and they follow the script. And of course, we know what the script is, don't we? In Psalms and in Proverbs, there's a lot of scripture talking about how important it is to follow instructions. And maybe we're poor at it, but we should have that emphasized in our life. Just how important it is to follow instructions. And you know, a lot of our New Testament in the blood of Jesus Christ is in the form of instructions, not verbatim commands, I command you to do that, but an instruction almost of how to live our lives. In Psalms 50, verses 16 and 17, the psalmist says this, "But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes, or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you?" Over 30 times in the book of Proverbs, Solomon speaks of instruction and how important it is. Listen to some of these. I won't read 30 of them, but look what the emphasis is in the wisest man that ever lived. In Proverbs 4, verse 13, it says, "Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life." I suppose there's an importance there because it refers instruction as a female. We need to learn something from that. In Proverbs 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "When your flesh and your body are consumed," and that's inevitable, "and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction." We don't want to be there, do we? We don't want to go there. We don't want to go that far that when our body is consumed, we are saying, "I hated instruction." How about in Proverbs 8, verses 10 and 11? "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." Again, in 10, verse 17. "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray." In 12, verse 1, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." Russ pulled that on us not too long ago, I remember. You don't think of the Bible speaking that way, do you? "He who hates correction is stupid." Verse 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. And then the last one in Jeremiah, verse 32, is another one that we do not want to arrive in that place. It says this, "And they have turned me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction." We don't want to be there, do we? And of course, we come to the New Testament and we find there what was read in your hearing this morning, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and how great that is, that it's good for instruction. And you wonder why then that we say that we have a difficulty in following instructions. I want to give you some examples of instructions before we close today. I want you to listen to them. This is all in Colossians. Colossians, the third chapter. And these are all in the form of instructions. You want to know how to? You want to see how you might rise in the morning and live a day that will be profitable to you? And that will be pleasing to God. These are just a few instructions, but they are vital. And if you only took these few right here and put them up somewhere and read them every day and committed yourself to these instructions, you would be like the puppets and things would be much better in your life and, of course, my life also. I'm preaching this morning to myself as well. The first one is in Colossians, the third chapter. And it says this, Paul says, speaking to the church in Colossae, he says, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. A simple instruction. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That takes some understanding of things, doesn't it? For sure. You have to think about what does that mean? Well, I know some things. I know Jesus Christ is in heaven. I know that's where God is and Jesus sits at His right hand. I know things that God has promised us from that place in heaven. I know that God wants us to be spiritual, and I have to understand how to make my life full of spirituality and not of flesh. And to do that, I have to keep my mind where the source is. And the source is with God. Here's another fundamental instruction in the 14th verse. It says, in the 12th verse, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, and so forth. It's an instruction. It's an instruction to us to see how that might benefit us, and how it might benefit each other, and how we might act appropriately while we're with each other in the church. But the thing is, it says, put it on. When you get up in the morning, you put your clothes on. You choose those clothes that you want to wear all day and you put them on. And that seems easy enough, even to be thankful that we have clothes and changes of clothes that we can put on. But when it comes into the spiritual part of it, God, through His Spirit, is telling us, be conscious of things. Be conscious of your life every day. Put on. See, it's your choice. It's your choice. It's not something that's beyond your control. It's within your control. Put on these things. And again, in the 14th verse, it says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Choices, instructions to us, not commandments, not bold-faced commandments that to the letter of the law we have to heed, but they are very good for us if we follow the script. In the 15th verse, is another instruction. It says, let. You see, it's something that we have control of if we let it happen. Let it happen. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body and be thankful. When you get up in the morning, you get in the shower, you turn on the valve and you let the water flow over you. That's a good experience, isn't it? I think for most of us, that's a real good experience. But God is saying you can let the peace of God come into your life and flow over you, and it's a matter of you turning the valve because it's forever present. It's not something that we even need to pray for, which we have been praying for, but it's available to us when we let God bring us peace. 16th verse, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's another instruction for the church, for all of us, to let the word of Christ dwell in us. Allow it. Make it so that it happens. Provide the opportunity for God to bless you. The opportunity is always there. In class this morning, we talked about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. God did that. And it's always available. And for lack of better words, all we need to do is turn on the valve and the Spirit is poured out unto us. You see? And the Word of Christ can dwell in our hearts if we're conscious of that. If we go for it, so to speak. If we spend time, the Word of God is so vitally important. Verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God for the Father through Him. Those are good instructions, isn't it? Whatever I do, if I'm conscious of Jesus, whom I love, and I am gratefully giving my life to Him because of what He's done for me, then whatever I do in deed, or in the words that come from my mouth, I can do it in the name of Jesus. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, probably the ones here are not the ones that are here to listen to what I'm about to say. But I do this in a way of correction, in a way of admonishing, in a way of instruction. And I have personally heard words among you that do not glorify God. In any way. And we should be able to say, in whatever we do, in word and deed, that we can do it in the name of God. And there are words like frickin'. You know that word? Have you heard that word? I don't know if that's a cuss word or what it is, but somehow I feel it's not appropriate. I've heard that coming out of believers saying that. And I think it gets into the category of gutter-type language that we should avoid because the world uses it so much and the way they use it is not honorable, not good. Can we take some instruction? Can we take correction? That's within you to say. The last one today says this. The last one, verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men. Can you see, brothers and sisters, can you see just those few instructions there in that one chapter that Paul wrote to the Colossians? If we took just and only those and applied them to our lives each day, how much better would our lives be? How much better would it turn out in that day that we look at those and observe them and follow them? And that's what God wants us to do. I'm so thankful to God that we're not under Moses and the commandments. And some people, they just freak out when you say that. But they don't understand how God is guiding us under Jesus Christ, under His law, and under His rule. And He's doing it by instructing us how to and how to go about life in the manner that I have given you today. In that manner is the gist of the New Testament in Christ Jesus, instructing us, not condemning us, but instructing us to be better, to live lives worthy of our call, to live lives as though that we really and truly do love the Lord Jesus Christ. We offer the invitation today. We always ask those who want to come and give their life to Jesus Christ. We always tell you that the water is ready for baptism because Jesus told us to go and preach the gospel and baptize believers. And you can have the remission of your sins and give your life to God this morning. You can follow that instruction. But that's one of them. You know, that's a commandment. And if you need in any way to make your feelings known this morning, to let us pray for you in any way, we ask that you take this opportunity now to come forward and let us know what we can do for you. Let us stand and let us sing.